Whenever you're going through difficulty and hardship, remember that the Lord Jesus knows exactly how you feel because He's been there in some fashion or some way or the other. He's been there. And so when we talk about the fact that it is common to all men, we're talking about the fact that every single person has been, is, and will be tempted in different ways. Is temptation conquerable? Yes, it is. Will it always happen? No, it won't, because you and I are not going to always choose His way of escape.
Do you feel like you don't have the willpower to withstand temptation? Well, you don't, but that doesn't mean you're doomed. Today on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley, he explains how believers can go on the offensive against sin, learn to rely on the Holy Spirit's power, and win the struggle with temptation. Here's Dr. Stanley.
People struggle in many, many areas of their life, and probably one of the most frequent, the most troublesome, and the most defeating is the area of temptation. If you'll think about how people are tempted to lie, tempted to cheat, tempted to steal, tempted to commit all kinds of sexual sins, tempted to gamble, to smoke, to drink, to involve themselves in all kinds of habits that they know deep down inside are going to be destructive to their bodies, to their families, going to be destructive to their relationships, and yet in spite of that, they go right ahead and do it anyway. Now, when he says this temptation is common to all men, what he's simply saying is this, that nobody is an exception. No one. Now think, not even Jesus was an exception. And oftentimes when we look at the temptations of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, and we think about how He was tempted by the devil and the three ways He was tempted, and then we ask the question, well, could Jesus really be tempted? So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 for a moment, which is a wonderful passage of Scripture here, and it certainly is an encouragement to every single one of us. He's talking about Jesus being our high priest, the one who intercedes before the Father on our behalf. And if you'll notice what he says in verse 13, he says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." That is, nothing is done in secret in the eyes of God. I mean, you know, people can hide and do all kinds of things, but the truth is, whatever they're doing it in the very presence of Almighty God, because nothing is hid from Him. And He says in this passage that all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Hang in there. That is, hold fast to what you know is true. And then he says, look if you will in verse 15. And he says this in the negative, so let's turn it around. He says, "For we do not have a high priest," speaking of Jesus, "who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses," which means we do have a high priest, Jesus, who does sympathize with our weaknesses. He says, "One who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and we may find grace to help in time of need." Now, what a wonderful verse of assurance that, listen, you and I never face a single solitary temptation that Jesus did not face. You say, you mean to tell me that Jesus was tempted in all these things? That's what he said. Now, if you and I just scraped up every single solitary temptation imaginable, no. But he's talking about all the different types of temptation that you could categorize. That is, he was tempted in that way. And you see, the reason this verse is so important is this. He says, look, whenever you're going through difficulty and hardship, remember that the Lord Jesus knows exactly how you feel because He's been there in some fashion or some way or the other. He's been there. And so when we talk about the fact that it is common to all men, we're talking about the fact that every single person has been, is, and will be tempted in different ways. Now he says, notice, no temptation has taken you. When he says overtaken you, it means that we have been confronted with it and we have fallen. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So first of all, we said it's common. Second, if you notice what he says here, he says it's controlled. He says every temptation is controlled. That is for the believer, not for the unbeliever. The unbeliever has no control. The believer, there's control in the temptation. What is the control? It is somebody. Look at this. He says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Now look at this. The controller in our temptation is not ourselves, but it is God. What's the nature of His control? It is certainly not to make us strong enough within ourselves, but rather He brings us to the realization, He brings us to the understanding that it is the Holy Spirit on the inside of us who is enabling us, empowering us to say no to temptation and to be strong. Does He not say in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord. Stand against the principalities and the powers. Our strength is in the Lord. And what that means is as we depend upon the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit, we will overcome those temptations because these temptations are controlled and they're controlled by God. We ought to endure them because they are controlled. Now, is temptation conquerable? Yes, it is. All temptation? Yes, it is. Will it always happen? No, it won't, because you and I are not going to always choose His way of escape. And some things may look so enticing, and our imagination may get to going, and we may get to fantasize, and next thing a person knows, they have willfully, knowingly chosen to disobey, to step beyond God's boundaries. What have they done? It's not because they had to. The pressure was limited. God in His love, God in His power, God in His faithfulness, He's there setting a limitation, but we choose to disobey. Now, it is conquerable. You say, well, how is it conquerable? Well, we just read the promise here, and He says, God will set a limitation on it. He'll make a way of escape. He'll make a way that you and I may be able to endure it. Notice what He didn't say. He didn't say God will come along and eliminate the temptation. He didn't say that. He says He will make a way of escape that you and I may be able to walk through it and escape falling, not be have the temptation removed. Now, so how do we deal with temptation? First of all, and I think this is so very important, when you and I are dealing with temptation, now here's what Satan does. Watch this. Satan always, watch this now, he always tries to narrow our focus down to something very, very minute. What he wants to do is to narrow our focus down to the object of temptation. Now, if he can get our focus down to the object of temptation, then what we do is we lose our perspective. We lose our focus on the big picture. What God wants us to keep in mind in every circumstance, in every temptation, is what's the big picture? Satan wants it narrowed down to this object that we want, that we desire. And so what does he do? He begins to fill our minds with how wonderful it would be, how great it would be, how satisfying it would be, how fulfilling it would be. He wants us to lose the big picture. So one of the ways we build our defense against temptation is to keep the big picture in mind. That is, what's really involved here? What's at stake here in your life in that particular thing? And I think there are several questions we ask and we think in terms of the big picture, and that's this. First of all, the narrow picture, this is what I want, this is what I feel, this is what I like, and this is how I'm going to get it. The big picture says, if I yield to this temptation, what are the consequences? What are the consequences to me? What are the consequences to those about me? What are the consequences presently? What are the consequences in the future? Keeping the big picture causes me to ask some questions. And one of those questions is, what are the consequences? The second question I have to ask is, am I prepared to pay the price that I may have to pay if I yield to this temptation? First of all, what's the consequences? Secondly, am I prepared to pay the price? If I yield to this and I sin against God, am I prepared to pay the price for this? And the third question is this, is there a better way for me to get this need met or this desire in my life? Is there a better way than being disobedient to God and yielding to temptation? I think those three questions help me keep the big picture. What are the consequences? Am I willing to pay the price? And is there a better way? And I think this will help us every time we face some temptation. A second thing that I think is so very important here in building our defense is this. And that is to be able to identify the areas of our weakness. Now, everybody has one or more. You say, well, now, I don't know in any area that I'm weak in. Well, then you better go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read that verse that says, beware lest you think you stand, you find yourself falling. Every person has an area of weakness, one or more areas of weakness. That is, those areas in which Satan somehow seemingly can get to you in that area or those areas when he can't get to you any other way. So identifying the area of weakness in your life, I think that's very, very important. A third thing is this, and this is something that I think where we really fail, and that is when you are thinking in terms of living the Christian life and there is an area of weakness or something that continually tempts you or that you're tempted often, the way not to deal with that is to think about it. Well, this is this temptation. You think about temptation. You worry about this temptation. You fear it. That is not the way to deal with it. The way to deal with that is to visualize your victory over it, to visualize the right response. And you see, what happens is this. Now, watch this. As you and I, and that's what faith is. Faith is my ability to visualize something before it ever happens. Here's what I believe God wants me to ask Him for. So I visualize that thing as taking place. Now, I know that the New Age crowd that talks about visualizing this and visualizing that, but we can't allow them to take that word and misuse it and us not use it, because visualizing it means I'm able to picture in my mind. Now, watch this. Your nervous system cannot distinguish between what is imagined and what is real. It cannot. If I believe it's real, then my whole nervous system is going to operate, and I'm going to be able to run real fast. Because, listen, your nervous system can't distinguish between what's real and what's unreal. So in our imagination governs a lot more about us than we think. So if I want to deal with something in my life, I don't keep worrying about it and thinking about my failures. Rather, I think in terms of victory. I think in terms of overcoming it. I think in terms of doing what God would have me to do. And so what we do, we begin to program our thinking in a positive, godly, faith fashion. I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm talking about how God made this human body with a nervous system and imagination. And imagination, God uses that to create many things. If I can visualize myself responding correctly, and you practice that, you know what will happen? You will begin to act in the way that you think, because the Bible says, as a person thinks in his or her heart, so are they. And so rather than thinking about, I'm afraid I'm going to fail, and this failure and that failure, what happens is we set ourselves up to failure. And so when the Bible talks about renewing your mind, that is exactly what we have to do. We have to choose to begin to think differently. And as we begin to think differently and we imagine and we visualize doing the right thing, what we do, we reprogram, we repattern our thinking. So we begin to think godly thoughts and think of doing things in a godly fashion, being obedient to God. Another thing that I think you and I can do to build our defenses in temptation is to make ourselves accountable to a friend. Not just anybody, but listen, to a confidential, trustworthy, godly friend who is on your side in your Christian experience. If you know that you have to give an account to that person every single day, God is going to use that person as an encourager. Now, you don't want somebody who's just going to absolutely destroy you verbally. I tell you, you have failed again. I knew you weren't going to do it. I knew you weren't going to last. I'm not talking about that kind of friend. I'm talking about somebody who will enable you, who will encourage you. Making yourselves accountable to someone will be indeed a tremendous help. Another way to build a self-defense against temptation is to be able to identify the danger zones in life. There are just some places you don't have any business going. There are just some places you don't have any business of showing up. Now, there are all kinds of danger zones, and nobody knows what they are in somebody else's life. But one way to build your defense is to identify what the danger zone is. And then, of course, I think one of the ways to strengthen ourselves against temptation is to have, listen, to have a set time of prayer and meditation wherein each day you and I meet the Lord. It can be morning, noon, or night, whatever suits you. But there's a time that you and God are alone daily. There's a time that's only His, and that is going to be a strengthening time, a time when you can unload your heart and share with Him. And those times of prayer are times when God does what? Rekindles your spirit. Prayer is a very essential part of building that self-defense against temptation. Then, of course, you could look at Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. And it is a good idea to wake up in the morning. But listen, not after you get out of the bed and on your way to work, but before you get out of the bed, you just lie there and you say, Lord, I want to thank you that today I'm putting on the helmet of salvation to protect my thinking. The breastplate of righteousness to protect my emotions today. The girdle of truth so that I will know the truth and walk in the truth. I want my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that wherever I'm walking today, I'm going to be a good testimony for my Lord. and with the sword of the Spirit. Father, I thank you today that by your word, I'm going to be able to ward off Satan. That's what Jesus did. He gave Satan a word from the Father when Satan tempted him. And the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Father, today in Jesus' name, I'm going to trust you to be my protector. I'm going to trust you to guide me. I'm going to trust you to guard me as my shield today. Putting on the armor of God. Putting on the armor of God is a definite work of the Spirit. When you and I visualize and you and I spiritually put it on, God, I want you to protect my thinking today. Then I'm going to give you a word that all of us have heard it. The word is HALT, H-A-L-T, write it down. But I want you to write it down as an acrostic. H-A-L-T, H-A-L-T under each other. Now watch this. And a friend of mine gave me this. He said, don't allow yourself to get too hungry, H. Too angry, A. Too lonely, L. And too tired, T. Look at that one. Don't allow yourself to get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired. What happens when you get hungry, angry, lonely, and tired? I'll tell you. I mean, Satan mounts his forces. You don't even have to have all four of those. You can get too hungry, you can get too lonely, or you get too tired. Listen, Satan knows how to work on us when we get weary and worn because, watch this, listen, you cannot separate the physical body from the spirit because this all works together. This body, soul, and spirit all work together. If Satan can get you weary, worn down, tired, I'm telling you, he will come after you. Too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired. So if you'll just jot that down and remember that when you get to feeling those things, you need to watch out. The last thing I would say is this. You need to have an understanding of and a personal experience with the Holy Spirit. My friend, until you understand the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, until you understand that He is there to enable you, to empower you, to lift you up and to build you up and to strengthen you, you will go on your own strength and you will go down over and over and over again when you attempt. We can win in the struggle over temptation if we will, listen, resist the devil, if we will build up our defense mechanism for what suits and what helps us, and if we will depend upon the Holy Spirit. And somebody says, well, all right, so I do that. Then what happens when I fail? Here's what happens when you fail. You ask God to forgive you immediately. You repent of that. You turn away from that and you keep walking. Do not, listen, do not turn around and have yourself a pity party. That's what Satan wants. If he can get you to having a pity party, he can tell you how bad you've been. He can wipe out your self-esteem. He can wipe out your sense of worthiness. He can wipe out your relationship to God in a split moment. Look at you now. What you do is you confess it, you repent of it, you walk away, you don't look back, you thank God for His forgiveness, and you thank Him for the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that thing to your mind, and you thank Him for the victory that He's going to give you the next time you attempt it. You don't mess around with the devil. Don't ever get into conversation with the devil. He is not one you want to communicate with. Because I'm here to tell you, he's defeated every saint of God. You can start with Adam. And you can go all the way through the Scriptures. And Satan has... Listen, you cannot afford to play around. You cannot afford to communicate with him. We communicate with God and resist the devil. And he says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's why he came, to enable us to become the persons God wants us to be and to do the work successfully God has called us to do. You can win over the struggle of temptation if you and I choose to obey God and obey Him by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. No matter what's been harassing you, no matter how many times you've been defeated, if you choose to do so, if you'll just listen carefully, apply these truths to your life, you will begin to experience victory in every single area of your life. That's the kind of God we serve. He is a wonderful, loving Father. Remember this, God is on your side as one of His children.
You're listening to In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. Temptation is a part of life, but God has not left us alone. He's given each of His followers the Holy Spirit to enable us to overcome any temptation. Have you decided that you're the exception to God's offer of forgiveness and restoration? If you ever wonder if you could be beyond God's grace, then please visit our website, intouch.org. You'll find solid reassurance that you can be saved and freed from any and every sin. And if you go to the bookstore page, you can order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, The Struggle with Temptation, or order his teaching set titled Winning Over Life Struggles. Again, you'll find these resources at intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. To write to us, address your letter to In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia 30357. Why is temptation so difficult to overcome? Don't miss today's Moment with Charles Stanley, coming up.
As a young man, Charles Stanley saw the Lord work in the life of his grandfather. What he witnessed inspired him to want to know God better. You can share in that legacy with the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible. With notes and devotionals from Dr. Stanley, it'll help you apply God's Word to your life every day. Order your copy of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible. Visit intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH.
Sometimes life isn't so simple. Minor circumstances become major trials. Concerns transform into fear, and frustration becomes anger.
Every single obstacle in the path of your life and mine is an opportunity for God to demonstrate His awesome power and love and presence in your life and mine.
To order Charles Stanley's series, Facing Life's Obstacles, call 800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org. What does your imagination have to do with temptation? Dr. Stanley explains the believer's struggle in A Moment with Charles Stanley.
All temptation is based on fantasy. That is, our imagination of how things would be. Because you see, if there were no imagination, you couldn't imagine how something would be, whether it's to relate to someone or to experience something or to have something, there wouldn't be much temptation there. But it's the fact that you and I can imagine how it would be to experience this or to have that, to possess that, or to go here or to go yonder. And as a result of that fantasizing, as a result of that thinking, what happens is we yield to temptation. So this is the sequence by which it happens. First of all, we think about it. Now listen, the fact that a thought comes through your mind does not mean that you've sinned. But first of all, there is the thought. And as we think about something, whatever that thought may be, then that's when the imagination begins to take over. How would this be to have this? Then following that imagination, of course, becomes a desire. As you imagine what it would be like, then you begin to desire it. And so it begins with a thought, and then there's the imagination, and following the imagination, there's the desire. And following the desire, the will becomes involved. So at that point, you have to make a choice. I have thought about it. I have imagined how it would be. That is what I want. And now I have to make a decision. If it is something that is not of God, I make a decision either to turn away from it or make a decision to consent to my flesh, which naturally, that is that part of me which desires to be disobedient to God. That's something on the inside of us, which the Bible calls the flesh, which longs to gratify and to be gratified and to be satisfied with those things beyond the boundaries of God. So when you think about the will of God has everything you and I need in it. The will of God has everything, listen, not only for what we need, but much of what we want in it. And God has not set boundaries in our life in order to keep us from having fun or enjoying life. He has set boundaries in every area of our life in order to protect us.
Learn more about the protective boundaries of God's Word when you visit us at intouch.org. Would you like to hear today's message again? You can stream it on our website or download podcasts and take In Touch with you. Our web address again is intouch.org. And if today's program has motivated you to get to know Jesus better, we'd love to hear from you. Do you feel guilty? How are you dealing with it? Find healthy biblical advice for winning the struggle with guilt tomorrow on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through your faithful prayers and gifts.